Glenfiddich, the world's most awarded single malt Scotch whiskey, is expertly crafted and made with extraordinary care. Each single malt is a work of perfection.
And we're back, Stripe Show Podcast, coming to you, special one here, over the weekend. I'm your host, Travis Fulton. Thank you for making us part of your day. We've got a great show on this special edition here over the weekend coming your way. Fred Funk will be joining me here momentarily, a longtime student of mine playing in the PGA Tour Champions event here on site in Jacksonville. Nodae Begay is going to be coming up as well, and potentially Michael Allen, which I'm going to be really excited if we can get Michael Allen in here. I'm located here at Tim Aquana Golf and Country Club. This is the ViStar Credit Union Patriot Outpost. Right over here to my right, 17th hole, the par three, and it looks like Padraig Harrington has a birdie putt right now from about 8 feet. And he made it! Or maybe that was from par. Like, I think he got it up and down. Anyway, it was a nice putt and a nice par. As many of you know, I was actually in Las Vegas earlier in the week and spending some time out there on the PGA Tour. It was the Shriners Children's Open. I was really excited to get out there to shoot some content for the Golf Channel. As many of you know, The Cut every Tuesday. Make sure you check it out. Got some good content coming out there. Got to spend some time with who I think is going to be the next top player from the University of Georgia, Michael Thompson. Really special player and a guy that is my new favorite golfer on the PGA Tour. His name is Harry Hall, not Harry Higgs, Harry Hall. I love that man. I cannot wait for you to see that next Tuesday. But let's get to where we are here. Fast forward on the Champions Tour here this week. I'm kicking off my partnership with ViStar Credit Union here in the fourth quarter, which I'm really excited about because ViStar does so much for Florida and into Georgia. And one of them, things that they do is with the military, and joining me here is the manager of military and specialty projects, Marianne Kolisnik. How'd I do?
Wonderful. It's perfect. Perfect. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Absolutely. This outpost is really cool. Yeah. And they've got an absolute fantastic spot here on the par three.
It's beautiful.
And watching these players come through. I want to start here. ViStar does so much for a lot of people in this community. I mean, you've got a lot of things going on. The one that I know, and it has a rich history in the military, right? So tell us about that.
We do. So for those who don't know, ViStar was founded in 1952 as at Naval Air Station Jacksonville, NAS Jax, originally chartered as Jax Navy Federal Credit Union. To create a safe place for military members and civil service members and their families to save and borrow money. So even though our field of membership has grown, our commitment to serving the military members and their families really hasn't changed. Mm-hmm. So we're really deeply rooted in the military and really proud of that fact.
And there's a new initiative, right, coming up.
Yes.
It's called hashtag Honor Your Hero.
Yep.
And when I was talking with ViStar about some of the initiatives that we're going to be doing together, this one is probably the one that I'm most excited about.
Yes.
Because of the outreach to my followers, to your audience, on how they can honor a hero.
Yep.
Tell us about that.
We're really excited about this. So we're running this campaign, Honor Your Hero, through the month of October. So the community is encouraged to nominate an active duty or military veteran in their life who is their hero.
Yep.
So all they have to do is go on and submit a photo or video and fill out a quick online form for the reason the person is their hero. Really, really neat. So excited about it. Winners will be selected based on the entries at the end of the month, and all of the information can be found right now on ViStar social media. So really excited about this. We really wanna see who everyone's hero is.
Yeah, and I'm gonna be pushing this out all October and into November before they select in November who the winner is. It winner or winners
gonna be? Winners. Yes.
So there's gonna be multiple winners. So you're gonna be hearing me talking about this. You'll see the link as well that you can click on and nominate your hero. I'd really love for you guys to get behind this and nominate your military hero. Now here are some of the things. You're all generous. I'm just gonna say, like, you know, ViStar's very generous with like what these veterans can win.
Yeah.
All right. I'm just going to name a few of them. All right.
Yeah. Let's
see. So we've got some upcoming sporting events at the University of Florida. Mm-hmm. upcoming events at Florida State University.
Yep.
The Orlando Solar Bears, Savannah Ghost Pirates, and...
some good stuff.
My lessons with me.
Yes, yes.
Lessons with me, folks, whether it's in person or online, and my partner in PXG is PXG full set of clubs.
I mean,
full set of Gen 5s, I might add. All 14 clubs. And that's just to kind of kick it off. Those are just a few of the things that they win.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
So amazing.
It
so,
really
yeah.
is.
We really want people to submit those applications. Excited about it.
In addition to the military, what other stuff do you got going on at Blackstone?
Yeah. So, well, to kind of talk about what else we do in the community that's really military involved, we have a lot of community projects going on. We are involved in the National POW MIA Memorial Museum, and that's an ongoing project here in Jacksonville, for those who aren't familiar. Vistar has really been a strong supporter of that to honor the men and women who gave the ultimate sacrifice to their country and who weren't able to come home. So the USS Orlick, I don't know if you've been downtown yet, but it's really, really cool. We were part of bringing the ship over here, and there was a lot of financial challenges, so we kind of stepped in and helped with that. And then there's also the UF Health's Leon Haley Brain Wellness Program that we are a part of too. So, and then the NAS Jax Air Show as well. So we're really integrated in the community when it comes to the military.
It's gotta be satisfying for you when you see the impact you make on these people,
yeah.
these veterans, and like just this experience out here
yep.
At the outpost. I'm looking at the veterans kind of hanging out, eating, and really. You know, watching the golf. Mike Weir, actually, the lefty Canadian coming through right now. He's actually tied for the lead currently and with Jim Furyk, I believe, who played very well late yesterday. So it'd be kind of cool if Furyk won his own event. Or would that just be like...
I don't know. Can he do that?
I mean, he's fully capable, but that's not a very good host. I mean, if you win your own event.
Let someone else win. Yeah.
Marianne, thank you so much.
Thank you.
For having us here. Thank you for everything that you do. And
we appreciate
Fred Funk will be joining us here momentarily. Stay tuned. All right, joining me here. He's back, Northeast Florida, Jacksonville. Fred Funk, how you doing, bud?
I'm good. It's actually good to come back. I was here 31 years, and for whatever reason, I moved out about a couple years ago and moved to Austin. And actually, we're kind of homeless right now. That's a long story in itself. We don't even have a house. We took advantage of the market and sold it for a lot more than we paid for it. And problem is, you sell high, you got to buy high.
Yep.
And we didn't want to buy high, so we're renting.
Okay.
So we're homeless. The bridges look good. I've been looking at all underneath the bridges and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, some of them look pretty nice.
I have a spare
There's a lot of room under
there. In my place in Nocatee, if you guys want to come down there.
That wouldn't be bad.
I have a 7-6-year-old. We're going to help Amber and I out, and you can watch it.
Babysitting is not included. No babysitting.
So how you feeling? I know you had the back issue there earlier in the year.
Yeah, I've had a big battle. In March, I had my second back surgery, and I had a lot of nerve pain for 5 years from the first one. L3, 4, and 4-5, it collapsed on itself. Or 4-5 and 5-S1, they collapsed on itself and just crushed the nerve. And I've been trying to do everything short of a fusion. I actually went to Tiger's doctor in Dallas early March, and he came to the room. He says, "You know, Fred, your back sucks." After about a day and a half of diagnostic, and he says, "If I do what I got to do, I'm going to have to fuse 3 levels, and you'll never play golf again, even for fun." I went, "Well, why would I do that?" And he goes, "Well, you don't have to do it. It's a big surgery." And I said, "I'm not doing that yet." So I found a guy in San Diego, Chol Kim. He's amazing. And what he did, he took the nerve that was just being crushed and just opened up made room around it so it could breathe and not have that pain. And I got rid of the nerve pain. About a month and a half later, the nerve pain was gone and life began again. I was able to sleep. I've been able to practice. I've been able to work out. And the game is, every now and then, shows signs that I can do something.
Yeah.
But I still struggle with the golf game, unfortunately. But
you're probably not going to practice as much either.
I'm practicing more than I probably should.
Okay.
I'm really pushing this. I don't know how long it'll last, and hopefully it'll last. But I'm playing again. And the biggest reason I'm playing is, you know, I haven't been competitive in 4 or 5 years. But the fraternity we have out here, the brotherhood we have on the Champions Tour is fantastic. So I love being out with the guys.
Yep.
I hate shooting when I'm shooting a lot. Although I did break my age, their ally a couple weeks ago, and shot 65 and led the tournament by myself the first round.
I saw that.
Wow.
And then I fixed that up with a 75. And actually, it's 17 greens.
Everybody's like this, folks.
Yeah, I know. And then I shot 68, and I, you know, turned it around. If I shoot 70 the second round, I would have won the damn thing.
The juice is still burning? Like, the competitive, when you get out here, it's like,
oh, I really want it. Okay. I just, yeah, let's go is like, hopefully I can go.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, like, my audience knows, I've talked about you some in the past, you know, when you were in Jacksonville, this was what? Probably 10 years ago when I used to work with you a fair amount. And then when Taylor was young in high school, worked with Taylor before he left and went on to college. And now Taylor's on PGA Tour Canada, right?
Yeah, he did Canada. He just missed first stage of Corn Ferry, unfortunately. Yeah. Yeah, that hurts. Puts him in that dark hole, that black hole where you're trying to figure out how to get out of it.
So when we were working together, you were winning tournaments at a, like, one a year on the Champions. You won 9, I believe, right?
Yeah, 12. Yeah, I won 9. But I did it all early, and I played really solid. I should have won it. I put myself in position to win a lot of them. I think I gave that first U.S. Open away that I was in contention for, and then I won the next one. And then I was second 2 more times right after that. And that was really good. I mean, I was putting myself in contention a lot.
I remember in Sparity when you were standing in the middle of the 18th and you were tied with Tom Lehman.
Yeah.
And that second shot on 18 is no joke.
No.
At Woodlands.
All over the water.
And you stuck it to, like...
Yeah, it was just outside where I didn't even have to think about it. I mean, it was really only that long.
I was a nervous wreck. I was jumping up and down in my house when you hit it to that. I'm not going to lie. And Lehman hit it in there 10 feet and missed it.
Yeah, he was actually a little closer than that, and he hit a great putt, and I still don't know how it didn't go in. Mm-hmm. The funny thing with that shot, my son was on the bag, and it was 20 years later after my first win at the same venue.
Yep, in PGA Tour. Yep.
And in 92.
Yep.
And that was pretty special. But early in the week, we all know the Sunday pin, and I said, Taylor, when that pin's over there, we're not going for it, okay? We're aiming over here. And then we get to that day, and it was like, you know, basically a playoff at that point. Yep. It was mano a mano.
Yeah.
And he says, so where are you taking us? I'm right at it. He said, Dad, you said you don't go. Well, we got to go for it now. And I was hitting a 5-iron in there.
That was a
lot of clubs.
Yeah.
And it was a hell of a shot. That was one of the best I've hit coming down the stretch.
Yeah, that was cool. And I think then you end up losing in the playoff, like, 2 years later. Your good friend Gudas, didn't you? Were you in that playoff with Mike when Gudas won there? Or did he
lose? No, he didn't win. He lost that playoff.
Oh, he was in the playoff and lost. That's right.
Right. He was with Esteban, I think.
Esteban Toledo. That's right.
I think there was one other one, too. But yeah, Mike's my best buddy. So,
So
actually, Mike was with me with Lehman that day.
Yeah, he played well.
He played really good.
He played well. He's always played good on that golf course.
He does.
I think he won at Rock Barn that year too.
Yeah, he's one of the best ball strikers. Well, best drivers, I would say.
Driver,
one of the best drivers ever.
Paints like just perfect.
That's straight every time and long.
Yeah,
for a little dude.
So when we were working together, like, I was a coach by grade. I told you earlier, I was like, look, Fred, one thing I don't do is caddy, ever. I don't want to caddy.
Yeah.
Remember you made me caddy like 2 or 3 times. Remember that?
Yeah,
over the years.
I do.
And
you were a good caddy, though.
No, I was not.
Yeah, you were.
I was not a good caddy.
The bag looked small on you.
Yeah. I remember when you got into the PNC and you played with Taylor, Father Son. And
we did. Yeah, that was fun.
And you go, we were working in the bay, and you go, I just got in the PNC with Taylor. Shoot, I'm about a caddy. He's like, you're caddy. I'm like,
now tell me it was fun.
No, it was fun.
It was fun.
It was fun. But do you remember what happened on the first hole of the practice round? So we had your clubs in the bay, and we left your 7-iron in the bay.
Oh.
And you had another set in your car. And so we get on the practice round, and I've got the, you know, here's my bag. Got it. So I'm like just trying to stay the hell out of the way. And we get out to your drive on one. And you know what club you asked for? 7-iron. And I didn't have it.
You didn't have
it. And you're like, you're right, you are a shitty guy. I told you I didn't want to be out here.
That's funny.
All right, let me ask you about Liv. How long does it take when you come up to someone? If you walk through this crowd right now out here, how long would it take for them to ask you about Liv? What question? Is it the first, the second, or the third?
it's early.
It's early.
It's a lot of times it's the first. Yeah. You know, sometimes, well, after they say hi.
Yeah, right. Hey, Fred, what do you think?
Yeah, what do you think of the lip?
Give me your thoughts. What do you think?
I'm on both sides of the fence on that, because if I was in a situation like Westwood, Poulter, Mickelson,
right,
that point of their career, so they got a choice to play in a regular tour, Champions Tour, get their butt beat on a regular tour, come to the Champions Tour, we're not playing for any kind of money, really, comparatively.
Right.
And then they offer you $100 million or $50 million, whatever it is, $200 million for Phil, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And I would have gone. But for the young guy, Taylor Gooch was one of the first young guys to go, and he was rocking and rolling on the regular tour. And then Cameron Smith, when he went, I was like, wow. You know, but it's hard to turn down that kind of money.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they're not playing for anything. It's exhibition golf.
Yeah.
And it's 48 guys right now, and it's team golf, and there's excessive amount of money out there even on the weekly purses.
How do you keep the competitive juices going, though?
I don't know how. I mean, it's almost just shit and giggles out there, you know, really, for what they're doing. And they're asking
exhibition.
For world ranking points, and they can't get that.
I mean, not
at 48 guys and three rounds. I just can't see them getting it. If they get it, it's a farce, I think. But at the same time, I don't... all right, let me back up.
Okay.
So what has to hold true is what Monahan laid the ironic line in the sand, and being the Saudis, and just said, okay, you go over there, you're not coming back.
Right.
And if any of those guys are allowed, whether it's a court decision or anything, and they're allowed to come back and play the regular tour, now Rory McIlroy, Justin Thomas, and Morikawa, and all those guys are going to go, wait a minute.
Right, we're all going.
Now we're going. Yeah. Now we're all going. So that can't happen. That'll destroy the tour.
Yeah.
It totally destroyed the tour.
Yeah.
And that's what Greg Norman wants, I think. I think he wants to, you know, he says it's, you know, for betterment of the game and all this other stuff. He wanted to get the tour back in the 90s, so now he has the money to back it up. The other thing is, the other side of that, where are they going to play? I think if they're eligible, for whatever makes them eligible to be in the Masters, the U.S. Open, British, PGA, they should play until their either world ranking drops or their eligibility's up. So I don't have a problem playing in it. You know, it's for their better interest to have the strongest field they can have.
The majors. Right.
And to hold them out for whatever reason and kind of align with the tour and Monahan on that, then I would say I don't think they need to.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I'm a little upset about with the tour, and I'll be out front with it, I was upset that we pulled out of anything to do, and the RNA followed it, anything to do with Trump's name on it. They pulled out. Turnberry is probably one of the best, if not the best golf course in maybe anywhere, and definitely the best of the Rota.
Yeah.
And Trump owns it. They'll never play there again. They pulled out of Doral, went to Mexico, slap in the face. Whether I'm a Trump guy or you're a Trump guy or not, that's just not right. The guy puts a lot of money into golf. He loves the game. And you know, unfortunately, we have, I'll just leave it at that.
You guys have in the locker room. I mean, these guys in the locker room, I mean, you're good buddies. You've been traveling the country and the world with for 30, 40 years, right? Playing professional golf. Guys that have meant so much to the PGA Tour, including yourself. Like, do you guys just kind of sit around and be like, what the hell is going on? I mean, this is crazy that the PGA Tour is in the position that it's in. Because like you said, if it comes down from a ruling that these guys can come back, I mean, it feels like...
It's over, I think.
It's that close, isn't it?
It's over.
It's
we're
that close.
Yeah, it really is.
You guys gotta be sitting there thinking, this is kind of sad.
Well, it is. It is. And the other part of it was, before all this was going on, the last 3 or 4 or 5, 8 years, 10 years, but these young guys are awesome.
Yeah.
And our tour was in the strongest position it probably ever been in, the most popular. They were rocking and rolling. You know, the irony, remember the Canadian Open this year was opposite the first one in London. You remember how rock and roll, I mean, Rory and all those guys, Justin Thomas, they were putting on a display of shot making, and unbelievable. And that was phenomenal to watch, and I would hate to lose that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just think there's a tradition, I think, among, whether you believe it, there's more than just the tradition of the U.S., of the majors and the players.
Yeah.
That, you know, when you're playing to Byron Nelson for however many years they've been playing, certain terms, we've been playing the same venue for years and years and years. It may not mean a lot to a lot of guys on the outside, but to me it means a lot to be a part of that tournament.
Sure.
With the icons that represent it. So it's really, really cool.
Yeah.
So I hope we don't lose that.
It's going to be fascinating.
I understand the guys going, because how do you turn down the money?
Yeah.
And then I don't know the response with the regular tour. It seemed like we were reacting instead of just, you know, getting ready for it and having something out there and say, okay, you know, we were always reacting to what they did. And now we got a two-tiered tour.
I know.
We got the haves and the have, we got the haves that have a lot, and we have the, not the have-nots, but they don't have as much.
Right.
So
right.
It's, and it's a self-perpetuating tour with the world ranking points and all the money. And such a diversity between $20 million purses and $10 million purses.
Sure.
And so it's going to be interesting the next 2 to 3 years where this thing goes.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be fascinating. All right, let's finish up with this. You got a big project. You designed a course out in Colorado, and it's come to fruition, right?
Yep.
Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's called Rain Dance. And
Rain Dance, I love that.
Yeah, it's really cool. Actually, you need, after being out there and designing it, and we've been sitting on it since 2009, and finally broke ground 2 summers ago. But it's a very high altitude desert arid climate. Doesn't get much rain and snow. Gets some snow, and they love it when they get the snow. But the piece of land is gorgeous. It has these huge arroyos on it, the erosion ditches, and we just went around and over them and tried not to touch anything that nature created, and just put a golf course in there. And it,
so where do you fly into?
Fly into Denver. It's an hour north, just south of Fort Collins, just east of the Rockies. Our first hole overlooks, aims right at Long's Peak, 14,000 footer, and most of the year it has snow on it. It's really, really pretty.
Yeah.
We've had some, it's the second longest course in the world, 8,460 yards. It plays probably about 77. And we had it at 8,000. It was going to play way too short if we ever had a tour event. It was going to play about 7,000 at most. So, because we got a, there's 250 foot drop. We put fescue in it. It's at 5,000 feet. Ball just runs like crazy. So we started, so he wanted to chase a record, have the shortest pro to ever play the PGA Tour, height, distance, wherever shortness is recorded in my body. And have me design the longest, second longest. We were trying to be the longest, but the longest is in Shanghai, China. And that's at 10,500 feet. And it's 8,500 yards. We couldn't get another, 8,550, I think, and we're 8,460. 90 yards short. Yeah, it's at 10,000. I never heard of a golf course at 10,000 feet.
My goodness. But, are you kidding me? Or what, are you like landing it on an airport strip?
Yeah, I don't know what you, a glacier. I mean,
it'd have to be. I mean, can you imagine that?
Probably your season's 2 months.
Can you imagine that place being wet, no carry, no roll?
Yeah, no roll.
driver, three wood wedge.
Well, we had Sam Saunders, who lives out there, and he played it all the way back, every hole, all the way back, which will never happen if we had a tournament, because if the wind came up. And he shot par 72. Five par fives, five par threes, shot 67.
Five par five, five par threes.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then he went out another time and shot 68. So it can be done. I can't play from the back. I can't fly the force carries that we have on about four holes. So it's great. You could, but
I don't know about that.
But I can't.
I'm just trying to remember the 7-iron.
I'm not. I'm the only guy that hits it shorter in altitude.
So what do you think? So, last question. Into the, you got a few more years left. That body holds up. One more win in you, you think? Is there one more?
I would love to think so. But I thought that at Ally. I really, for whatever reason, I stumbled onto something on the practice day, and all of a sudden I had my height back, I had my contact back, I was had a draw back, and it was there, and then it's gone again. But I had it for that whole week. The next week it was gone. I went, what the hell did I do different? But I found something, and it's funny. I was trying to feel like I was stacking and tilting, mm-hmm. even though I'm not a stack and tilter.
That's what we used to work on.
I try to get left and try to create a little more space, and I keep gravitating back this way, and that's where I'm stuck now. I can't find it.
Yeah.
So I go this way, I can't find it. I go this way, I can't find it. I can't get in the middle.
And well, it's somewhere in there.
It is somewhere in there. I just can't. When I get it, it's there. Yeah. I'll hit shots and I go, wow, that's it.
Yeah.
Like today, I probably hit about four unbelievably beautiful shots. And I went, there it is, when I was struggling all day. And I made two stupid doubles, and no birdie. I'd shoot four over with two doubles. And that's something you told me never to do.
What?
Make doubles.
That's what I said. I said make no doubles. But it's funny say that. Like, we used to, that's kind of been your thing. You were, because I remember you came back from your knee and your thumb.
Yeah.
And you were kind of drifting off of it. And I said, no, you got to lean more left. And you looked at me like, I don't want to do that. Like, I don't want to be stacking. I was like, no, that's not stacking. That's just, you're too much over here. You got to feel like you're going here.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, I do now.
And then I would get you to do that and exaggerate. And then I'd show you on video and be like, yeah, that looks normal. It looks good.
Yeah. You and actually, like the club would get
longer and longer
back here.
And I remember,
and right now, I'm right here. I'm like,
and there was a stretch. I think it was that same year. I think you finished second in the Schwab to Bernhard that year in Arizona. You were right there.
Yes. Yes.
And you were. Yeah, that was the longest I've ever seen you hit the ball. That stretch.
Really?
You were. Remember the driver? You were like, I mean, literally just opening up and leaning and opening your spine up, and that club was parallel. Hmm. And you were just ripping it. I bet you you're over here.
Oh, I guarantee I am. Yeah. But Taylor actually was telling me, you're over here, you got to get back over here.
Yeah.
So I've been trying to get here, and I went the wrong way.
You got set up a little there, and then feel like when you turn, you kind of go this way. That's what it feels like.
I didn't do that. Okay.
I wouldn't.
Lean right, and then go left as you go back.
I wouldn't set up over here.
Okay.
No, I wouldn't do that. I'd set up a little behind.
That's what I was doing in Michigan, though. Because when I set up left, I don't know how we diversed into this lesson, but it felt like I was trying to, my practice swings, the club was going out.
Yeah,
out and up, And in the real swing, it was just, I had more space.
Okay, right,
I had
right.
more, yeah, a lot yeah. more space to yeah. work coming down.
Yeah, because if you go this way, it kind of, it wraps around you. And then you don't have that angle.
Right.
And you're kind of like shallow.
Yes.
You know, where if you, I would, so I'd have just a subtle side bend at address, and then feel like it's working up behind you with the spine feeling.
I never got that spine thing.
Feeling a bit
very well. Yeah.
I've never seen you overcome that.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. It feels like you are, but you're not.
I've never seen that out of you. I mean, there's guys that will. There's guys that do it.
Yeah.
I mean, they start there. I mean, they're over there.
Yeah.
Not as much anymore. Remember that little.
Yeah.
They're
out of it.
All right, Fred. Thanks,
that's it.
Man. Appreciate
all right,
it.
Yeah. You got it.
Yeah,
right, that
was
thanks. Awesome.
Haymaker Coffee Company was established in 2021 to create the best coffee to fuel the underdogs who perseveres, who hustles, and have the give-it-all mentality to achieve their American dream. Haymaker Coffee only roasts top quality, specialty-grade coffee beans, resulting in brews that satisfies those who demand every drop from their coffee and day. If you work hard, run hard, fight hard, and play hard, we have your coffee right here.
All right, here with Noday Begay, the first tournament on PGA Tour Champions. How's the body holding up?
Not as good as I would like, but you never can quite completely prepare for the competitive grind. I mean, it's a lot of walking, a lot of intensity, a lot of adrenaline. So you just, you know, you really come out here, do your best, try to get a feel for it. I play again next week, got another round tomorrow. So just trying to see some incremental improvement day to day and get in a good spot where I feel like I can shoot a good score.
When you made the decision, I'm coming back to play on the Champions Tour, and you go to that point to where you're now right now, what's been the hardest piece of the puzzle to kind of rekindle a little bit?
Well, just getting enough competitive repetitions, playing in enough tournaments. I think the guys that have made the transition very quickly, Steve Stricker, Kirk Triplett did a great job when he first came out. They stayed very competitive on the PGA Tour and the Korn Ferry Tour. So I didn't have that luxury. I only had a couple tournaments prior to coming in here, which is why I, you know, I'm not playing terrible, but not playing great.
Yeah, not sure. I mean, it's just like you got to work the rust off a little
bit, right? Yeah. I mean, a lot of rust.
Because you didn't, like, you hadn't played professionally. What was the gap?
10 years.
10 years. So and that's not a fair comparison to, like, Stricker and those and Fury. I mean, these guys are playing competitively right up to the...
Right. Well, I had an injury. I played for a while, then went into broadcast television and just didn't really play a lot of competitive golf. Yeah. And
now it's here,
and I'm trying to work out the kinks, and... It's just as hard as I remember.
The nerves? There at first?
Oh, a lot of nerves. Yeah, there's a lot of nerves, and that's part of it. That's part of tournament golf, and you just get used to them. They never go away, but you just got to learn how to be okay with it.
So I got to ask, I mean, I know you've been asked this question. I can't even imagine how many times I get it asked. I could walk over there right now, and it would be either the first or the second question. I mean, where are we going next year? With professional golf, I mean, is this here to stay? 2-3 year run, 5 years? I mean, what's going to happen here in the future? You have any idea? LIV Golf, PGA Tour.
Yeah, I think a lot's going to be determined by the courts, and what you're going to see is, you know, LIV's going to continue to try and establish itself as a competitive, a bona fide competitive environment within the professional golf space.
Yeah,
if they do that. And they are able to get world ranking points, then it becomes another entity as far as how it works itself out in the grand scheme of things. So I'm just as curious as everybody else to see what's going to happen. But
it's weird to think that it is in the court, right? And that, and I had Fred Funk here earlier, and we were talking, and he says, look, if these guys can come back and play, then the PGA Tour is really in a tough spot, because now you're going to have more guys going, and then it just becomes really filtered out, doesn't it, if that's the case?
Well, I think it's going to force, you know, the PGA Tour to establish more sort of coherent policies that are similar to that of the NBA, the NFL. You know, those athletes can't go play in another league. It's just plain and simple. You don't see NBA basketball players going over to the European leagues or the leagues in Asia, because it's just not part of the CBA that they have. Right. The league has with the players.
Yep.
So, whatever that sort of technical term as far as relationship that the tour is going to establish with its players, that'll determine sort of what those thresholds are.
Last question. I meant to ask this earlier. Your distance, you got some competitive rounds going right now. What's your driver distance right now versus when the last time you played on the PGA Tour?
Probably about the same.
Yeah.
Maybe a little shorter. I mean,
it's pretty close, right?
It's pretty close.
Yeah.
It's just the equipment and the ball is just so much different now that it's...
Putter, putting, what's going on there? What are you doing right now?
I've got a Scotty Cameron Bullseye putter, which I putt left and right-handed.
Right. So you're still doing that?
Yeah. It's great.
It's fantastic.
I love it. Yeah.
So left or right, left.
Left
right
to right, left, right to left, right. It's pretty easy. Just got to get a double-sided putter.
No, thank you.
Okay, appreciate my pleasure. Yeah,
thank you very much. Yep. Awesome. Yeah. That's fantastic. There's no one else doing that, right?
No.
I was going to get out here and watch you warm up, and I wasn't sure. I want to come out and watch to see if you were still doing that. But that's never changed. That's the way it's been for years and years and years and years. Fantastic. All right. You want any food?
PXG has done it again with the launch of a new lineup of drivers, fairways, hybrids, and irons. The new Gen 5 golf clubs deliver significantly increased MOI, faster ball speeds, longer distances, and tighter dispersions, all coupled with the exceptional feel and sound golfers have come to expect from PXG. Schedule your custom fitting or buy online at pxg.com.